Last Friday, we discussed the 30th verse of the third chapter, which through Arjuna shows for all of us the way to attain to the highest in life. How the goal can be practically attained? Yes, the goal is very high, and one may feel that it is not possible for me to attain to it. But it is not so. Each of us can attain this highest goal if we follow the proper path. Sometimes a very high peak, it appears that how can one any way go there? It is impossible to reach that peak. But yet if we keep on walking, slowly we see that one can get there. Swami Vivekananda was like that, walking to a peak in Himalayas. And he felt very tired and looked up and saw that, my goodness, there is still that much climb to go. I don't think I will ever be able to make it. And then when he was feeling that sense of depression, that I don't think I will ever get there, he saw behind him another much older Swami was walking, and he understood this what Vivekananda was feeling, and he said, don't get depressed, look at what you have already covered, and just as all that path has gone under your feet, so also if you continue that path up, that also will come under your feet. So that idea of self-confidence and perseverance is very important. If we persevere, we certainly will reach the great heights in life. So the way is described that you do your duties in the spirit of dedication, instead of being selfish in conducting one's works, be unselfish, dedicate all your actions to God, and then said that, remember your true divine nature. Not that you will immediately realize it, you will immediately experience it, but remember that you are really that. Remembering helps. If we remember our true nature, then that tells that maybe even though I am right now not feeling that, yet I am truly able to achieve that state. So it is that remembrance gradually changes the that consciousness or awareness associated with our ignorance. So let us remember and logically try to convince ourselves that we are the all-pervading Supreme Self. The limitations are just superimpositions of created by identification with body. When we dissociate ourselves from this identification, then we can easily feel our true, limitless, infinite nature. Just as if we are identified with our photograph, if somebody tears it, we feel sad, that fellow tore me off. And you are not torn, you know, only that paper is torn, you are intact. So, but if you are identified, one feels that, oh, a pain is felt. So, body is also a kind of our statue, you can say, a three-dimensional statue made of flesh and blood and that. And moreover, there is a robotics associated with it, so it walks and talks and all that. But we are not that. Just as we are not the photograph, we are not this body also. So, let us remind ourselves that, and thus, being centered in our true nature, we will be able to reach the goal. So, Lord tells now, very important two verses come, where Lord tells that follow this opinion of mine, this counsel of mine, matam. He says the next verse,
ye me matamidam nityam anutishthanti manavaha shraddhavanto anasuyanto muchyante tepi karmabhihi. Those men who ever practice this teaching of mine with faith and without cavilling are also freed from actions.
Those who follow this opinion of Lord, they are liberated from all bondage of actions. So, this is Lord's opinion, that this is what one should do. Therefore, our senior Swami, Swami Sarvagatananji, calls this verse, the earlier verse, as the Krishna Yoga. That because that is where, about that verse alone, Lord says, this is my opinion. About no other verse, you will see Bhagavad Gita says that this is my opinion. Of course, all the verses there are very important, and many verses are full of very important meaning. But it is true that about this verse, Lord says, this is my opinion. So, you follow my opinion, and thus you will become freed from the delusion and the results of all actions. And if you don't follow this opinion of mine, because of various reasons, we won't follow the opinion of Lord. This one may feel, Yogatmananda may think, what does he know after all? Krishna, he was some 5,000 years ago, he said something, and what he said, who knows really, and what is the proof that he knows all that truth? I don't need to follow. Who is that God? I don't consider him as God. I consider myself to be God. Why should I follow that fellow? Comes to us because of that carping, that we have that thought that who is that great fellow? I am the most superior person. I know better than God knows. Who is he to tell me? I will do as I want. Let God might have told that. Let those fools follow. I can think myself. Why should I follow God? So, and what is the proof that he is God? So all those ideas would come because of the feeling of jealousy, hatred, ego, and that will prevent us from following that advice. Even though sometimes we consider that advice is right, yet somebody else is telling it, why should I follow? That makes us prevent from doing it. And it is out of jealousy, out of hatred, out of the feeling of self-importance. So we consider, who is that Lord to tell me all that thing? I will do what I want to do. So it is this out of this feeling they may not follow the opinion of the Lord. What happens to them?
He says, but those who carp at this teaching of mine and do not practice it, no such fools, bereft of all knowledge, to be doomed.
These two verses are very similar to what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says that those who follow these teachings of mine are like those who build their house on the rock, and winds came, tornadoes came, rains came, floods came, the house stood firm. Nothing happened to it. And those who do not follow these teachings of mine, they are like those who build their house on sand, and a little wind came and the house crashed, and big was that crash. So that is the value of the teachings of God. See, the teachings of human being and teachings given by God, God has no confusion. Human beings, their knowledge is mixed with so much confusion. They think one thing today, another thing tomorrow. Their opinions are continuously changing. Here you will see in the whole Bhagavad Gita, or in fact you see in all religious or other scriptures, the opinions do not change like this. Why? Because they are free from confusion. In human beings, their minds keep on vacillating all the time. And sometimes they think that I should do this. Next moment, they think that no, I should do something else. At one point, they think that this is right. Another point of time, they think that is right. Because the knowledge that they have, their awareness, is not rooted in truth. Even what we call science keeps on continuously changing. They use good word for it. They call it evolution. Science evolves. And what does that mean? If you penetrate into it, what does that evolve, science evolve, means? What they consider to be true yesterday, they don't consider to be true today. So only you give it a good word that it has evolved. So the idea is that is an imperfect knowledge. And why it is imperfect? Because it comes through the mediacy of our sense organs. Our eyes, our ears, all of those, they bring that information to us. And they themselves are shifting. They are not perfect either. When you use some instruments in your experiments in science, the first thing you have to do is to calibrate those instruments. First of all, see whether those instruments are accurate or not. And then you can use them with confidence. Have we ever calibrated our these sense organs? Have we asked their credentials to them any time? Whether, hey, my eye, what is the proof that the information that you bring to me is right? We have never done that. We have blindly believed our eyes. We have blindly believed our ears. What is, and we call that knowledge. That is very partial knowledge in the first place, very partial, continuously shifting and corrupt. Therefore, any decision based on that knowledge, if that term knowledge is right for us, that it is a variety of ignorance that we call it knowledge. Based on that, whatever decisions we take, how are they going to be right in life? So that takes us to doom, that is for sure. Whereas The difference in the case of the God, His knowledge is perfect knowledge. The Lord has seen in and through everything. There is no chance of any delusion there. So, because there is no chance of delusion there, you should take the opinion of that to be right, to be followed. Even in our day-to-day activities, our daily affairs, we take the opinion of experts. Because we understand that those people have studied in that line, they have acquired lot of knowledge, so it is better to go by their advice than my advice. If one is sick, you go to a physician. Well, physician has studied that thing, has spent lot of time, energy to get knowledge of that discipline, and can see many things that you cannot see. And therefore, you go to the physician, take the advice of the physician, and act accordingly. Because you do not know, understand those things, you do not see those things, so you better take the advice of someone who knows. So, consider now, even a physician or even expert in other field, construction, you go to the engineer, construction engineers take advice that how you should construct the building, not that I know and then do something. The building is not likely to last if at all it stands in the first place. You therefore have to consult the architects, engineers, and even the authorities, city authorities won't let you build a building. Because not only you, the others also you are risking their buildings and their lives too. So, you have to consult the person who knows better. Now, in these matters of supreme importance in life, which require a knowledge that is beyond the capability of our sense organs, the limitations of the brain and mind, it is therefore the one who has gone beyond these limitations need to be consulted. If you go by that person's advice, it is certainly going to do good to you. In the case of Lord, there is one more important thing to be understood, which may not be there with the experts, so-called experts. Because these experts, they, even though learned in some field, they may have ulterior motives. They may advise you that please take this medication, and not only based on their knowledge. Their knowledge might have played role, but as our Vishwanath levels that charge, that they are probably working for some drug company. Who knows, you know? The intellectually the knowledge is there, but unselfishness or purity is not there. Suppose an ordinary person who gets swayed by the ideas of gain and loss, then that works on the knowledge of that person. And even though it may be that this is not right for that person, they may see that, but this brings me a free vacation to Hawaii. Then why not prescribe this? It is a common thing that such a person's judgment the conscientious judgment gets disturbed by that. Moreover, if there is an that idea of favoring somebody and disfavoring somebody, that also complicates the judgment. But Lord, who is the self of all, who is in the heart of all, there is no such partiality. There is no such thing that I like that fellow more and this fellow less. So therefore, there is no possibility of any ill motive there either. And therefore, you can accept the judgment of Lord. There is no possibility of mistake, and then there is no possibility of ill motive. So, because there is no ill motive there, there is no possibility of ignorance there, so that opinion must be followed, and surely that will lead us to liberation. Even here also in this world we follow, if we want to go somewhere, then we get the directions from Google or MapQuest or something, and then go accordingly, or follow GPS, same thing. Why should we do that? Well, because that knows, and they have no reason to mislead us. They do not know me, and that man in the MapQuest doesn't change the maps just for my sake. There is no reason why that fellow should have a grudge against me. So, because of the knowledge and no possibility of any ill motive behind it, that advice is correct. So, here also we see that Lord has no lack of knowledge and also no ill feeling or ill motive towards anybody, and therefore the advice of Lord is to be followed, and that will lead us to liberation. If not, then we are shooting in our own foot. What else, you know? It is the advice has come to you, and out of hatred, out of jealousy, out of the sense of ego, you decided not to follow it. And that happens, you know, that it is, even though you know that it may be right, it is that one student coming here, he wanted to go for one course here in school, that liked that course, but didn't opt for it. Why? Because he saw some other person taking that course whom he didn't like. It happens, you know, it is an experience everybody. Or went for that course just because it was not interested, he was not interested in that course, but found that somebody whom he or she likes has taken it up, so I also must take it up. So, it is that kind of judgment and doesn't go well. The judgment that is free from error, that has to be followed. A conscientious judgment is to be followed. Our ego prevents us many times from acting. It prevents us from acting on the right thing. We know it is right, but there is this ego. There is a story told in Bengal that one beggar came. He was begging house to house some alms, and came to a house, and that house belonged to one lady, that she was very stingy, wouldn't give a pie to anybody, not a pie to anybody. So, but at that time she wasn't there, so her daughter-in-law was there. So the daughter-in-law told, look, you know, that lady doesn't let anybody give a pie, so you won't get anything. Don't waste time here of asking. Go to the next house. And he started going, and that mother-in-law was coming back at that time. She saw the beggar going to her house. What happened? You went to that house? No, that lady told me there that nothing would be given there.
Did she tell you like that? Come with me.
Now that she brought the beggar all the way back to her house there. And then she went inside the house, stood there inside the door and told, you won't get anything, go away. Why did you that?
Who is she to tell you? No, it is I who should be telling. Who is she to tell? That is the even though she was going to do the same thing, who is that daughter-in-law? Does she think that she is the owner of the house?
I am the owner of the house. I must be telling. Such things sometimes prevent us from taking the opinion of an expert. And what happens by that? We bring misery to ourselves. So, it is good to accept the opinion of the Lord and act accordingly. So, he calls them that, what are these people? Sarvajnana Vimudhan. And they are deluded, and they do not have the proper knowledge of anything because of that. Sarva jnana vimodha. That the translation goes that bereft of all knowledge. Now, why is it said that bereft of all knowledge? Because that hatred causes confusion in all knowledge. Even in the most ordinary matters, our likes and dislikes bring confusion to our understanding. And therefore, even though we may be knowing something, that knowledge is really not helpful to us, and therefore it is called that such people are bereft of all knowledge and totally confused as to what to do and what not to do. And naturally, being in such state, they come to doom. There is no doubt about that. So this is what Lord tells us about following this opinion. So let us learn to do our actions as worship. We can all see the difference. The moment we start doing our actions in the spirit of worship, the spirit of dedication, it is why it is told is that while doing the action, we may not remember that after all God is acting through all. But after the action, at least we may be thinking, that thought may come, that, I should be dedicating it to God. So now dedicate it to God. While acting, you may be, say, sweeping the floor. Now that there also, it is Lord who is acting through this body. But at that time, one may not remember it. I am sweeping the floor. But after the work is done, at least then a thought of God may rise. It is easier then. So at that time, dedicate that action to the God. So then that action and then gets converted into worship. So keeping in mind this advice contains all the four aspects of yoga. The yoga of action, the yoga of knowledge, the yoga of devotion, the yoga of concentration and control, and they karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga and raja yoga, all yogas are to be practiced. A synthesis of all that must come in our life, and thus we will progress towards the goal. The next verse tells that the paths of this following path, as well as the speed and the stages, they are not same for everyone. They differ according to the persons. It is not that everybody will understand this advice immediately. Many will not understand at all. Many will not be able to, even if they understand, they will not be able to follow it to the fullest extent. This problem comes to us many times, that yes, I read a lot, I read Swami Vivekananda, I feel very inspired, I read Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, I feel inspired. But when it comes to action, it seems again and again my awareness doesn't seem to change. I seem to live the same kind of life. The same attractions, repulsions keep on controlling the life. What is the use of it then? I read a lot, yes, but has it really brought about any positive change in my life? And then if not, what is the use of just reading? That thought comes to a person, and then that person may, because of this, give up all efforts. Not that giving up of the efforts makes the situation better, but that efforts do not seem to bring anything in life. I read Bhagavad Gita, I felt very nice, it is right. But again and again, I do not seem to get that from my insight. I feel it right at one level, but my emotions do not like it. So, in that sense, this next verse becomes very important, that all of us will imbibe this knowledge according to our nature. It is the same electricity flows through all these instruments, and each instrument absorbs and expresses according to its nature. If electricity flowing into this, it shines. The electricity going into this makes my voice amplified. So if I say that no electricity is going into this, look, it doesn't shine. Well, here the manifestation of electricity is different. Electricity here is for a different purpose. It's according to its nature it will manifest. In that, I speak to that, it is not going to make my voice louder. So electricity is entering in both, but the manifestation differs according to the innate nature. Also, the time required is again different. In many cases, it takes a long time before you see any appreciable change in life. Because of the past momentum of all those actions that we have been doing for God knows how many births. Now we have brought that momentum now. Now, even if you know that you may know that yes, I am going in wrong direction, and the right direction means going back. But you are on a highway, you cannot immediately press the brake, you know, that will cause a big problem. You have to wait till you get an exit, and you cannot just go on the other side and take the... those restrictions are there. So, immediately if you try to brake, the constitution of the vehicle and the journey is such that it will cause a disaster. You will not be able to do that. So, each person has to do effort according to its that person's innate nature. Although we are all one intrinsically, yet as the body and mind, each of us is completely different from another person. No two persons are alike. You won't find. And no two persons will think alike, no two persons will look alike. Everybody will be very different from another. So, it is like that each person has his or her inner nature, and the knowledge has to work according to that. You cannot force this knowledge on anyone. So this verse says, 33rd verse, sadrisham cheshtate svasya prakrite jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigrah kim karishyati. Even a wise man acts according to his own disposition. Beings follow their nature. What can restraint do? You cannot force a person to change. The knowledge will gradually seep, and then the change will take place. And the restraint of the person from forcibly from outside doesn't lead to right results. It won't act. I told that story many times, that a person, a schoolboy, used to fall asleep while studying. Most of us do that, but that boy was under a strict father, and so the father decided that as soon as he takes a book, the head will fall on the book and would keep on, the child will keep on snoring. So the father decided, those days in India they used to have the head shaved and a tuft used to be the tuft of hair. So he tied a rope to that tuft of hair and tied it to the ceiling tight. Let me see, now you study, now let me see how you can sleep. After a little while the father came again to see, and saw that this fellow's head was on the book, only the tuft of hair was dangling with the rope. So, it is. So the tendencies are so strong, you know, so forceful, so powerful, that you cannot restrain them with extraneous force. It is not possible to do that. So, you have to take a gradual course for that according to the nature of the person. All cannot just do like Sri Ramakrishna. It is okay for Sri Ramakrishna. He also therefore said that I have showed 100%, so that you will at least do a 16th of it. A 16th, Indian coin used to be there, Anna. So Anna was 1/16th of 1 rupee, another currency, main currency was rupee, 1/16th of it was called an Anna. So he used to say that I have done a rupee 16 anas, so that you will do at least one ana. So we should do at least one ana. If not, whatever we can do, it is not the quantity, it is the direction that is very important. Not that the effect is to be seen immediately in one's life, and not that today I decided to meditate. Some people feel like that. Arunim thinks I am meditating for 3 days, no samadhi. I have started coming in the morning for meditation. So he thought, maybe I may be getting samadhi on 3rd day. But no, it is. So, why with Sri Ramakrishna, in 3 days he had samadhi and I didn't get, what is this? The reason was he was not ready for that samadhi. He was thinking what will happen to his work if he fell in samadhi. So he was rather careful. So it is that not everybody is has that renunciation, that spirit of detachment, because our knowledge, although I have read in the book that God alone is real, the world is unreal, and I have intellectually understood that, but still my perception is that I am real as this body and the world is real. This division seems to be so real, and with that division comes, I like this, I don't like this, the likes pull me, the dislike repel me. All that comes in life, and even though I know that it is not correct, I cannot stop myself from acting according to my perceptions. Our perceptions guide our actions, and therefore the perception needs to be changed through this knowledge gradually. So to that end, try to control your actions according to the knowledge that you have read. Try to control your actions, but remember that just by forcing your controls on the actions, that is not going to change your perceptions. You have to do more than that. It is everybody has to follows one's own nature. And this one commentator commenting on this verse said that when it was said that Lord says that follow my opinion and you will be liberated, if you don't follow my opinion you are doomed, then a doubt will come that if God controls everybody, why does not God bring that knowledge in everybody's mind and make them go and get liberated? And God should do that. If God wants everybody to get liberated, then why does God not do it for me? Well, the reason is that although God is in everyone, everyone has a different nature, and one works according to one's nature. You go on telling that doesn't make any sense to that person. It is the scriptures are all there for thousands of years. Mankind is with different types of great scriptures and wonderful teachings. Right from the early school days, they are taught, tell the truth, but how many can follow it? It is not easy even to follow these simple teachings because of the innate nature. Innate nature is such that, well, if I am getting some more booty out of telling lies, then I can tell lie. It is the innate nature is guiding people. So even though the scriptures tell, the people are not going to listen to it. So how do they learn then? In Bengali they say, there is a saying that two types of learning is there. Dekhe shekha or theke shekha. One is that you see somebody and then get lesson and change your behavior accordingly. If not, then you will be punished. You will, when you get doomed, when you come to that doom, then you will start thinking, what brought this doom in my life? What brought this punishment in my life? Why I got this pain and suffering in my life? And then you will start thinking, it is like if I eat something and get terrible pain. Somebody gave me a very, very hot sauce, and it is written the danger and all that. But I like hot food, so I took a rather liberal quantity of it. About liberal means about half a teaspoonful on my lunch I spread it. And after I started eating, in a few minutes, the situation was like calling 911, you know. After I had this lesson, now what painful situation it can generate, I have just kept it for people to show if somebody is, I have not, since then I have not taken it. Others had told me then first that, you know, I take just a small drop. I didn't listen to it. Had I listened to it, I would have not suffered and learnt. So some can learn just by listening to others, wise people, you know. Wise people, they learn when somebody is walking and the person walking in front of that person, he sees that he falls in a hole there. Now this person who is walking from behind knows that there is a hole and he should be careful not to fall there. After falling in the hole, if you cannot learn, cannot educate yourself by seeing, by thinking, by using that brain apparatus, then you suffer and then learn. Like I learned that lesson from suffering, I hope I learned, it is that it causes terrible pain. So it is that keeps me away. So such these are the ways. If you slowly people come to this learning, that is why there is God has kept a lot of suffering in this world, because at least through that suffering people will develop some detachment. I was listening to a person today, very loving, and is suffering so much because of attachment. That every contact, you know, that sometimes has to break, sometimes has to, you know, there has to be a separation. Where there is coming together, there is parting ways also. And when that comes, that person was in terrible agony. Now if you tell that, well, it is not good to get attached so much, it brings suffering, the knowledge doesn't enter at that time. But through this suffering, now that knowledge gets in, that these contacts are impermanent. One should not seek permanence in them. They are not real, and they are there. Every coming together again has to be, separation has to be there. It is law of nature. Every combination has to again fall apart. So this knowledge then one learns. If one doesn't learn by the lessons of the scriptures, lessons of these teachings, these teachings then will be remembered, and when this suffering comes, oh, I was thinking that person to be my own. I did so much for her or for him, and now he or she just walks away from me. What a terrible agony, a tremendous pain is felt. Well, why do you expect, if you love, just love freely, and don't get attached, and don't put that stamp of ownership of anyone, and thus you will remain free. It is this teaching, then you remember this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, that what is the idea of detachment. So the detachment, we learn in that manner. So everybody has a different constitution. This verse is also told to say that we should not look down upon anyone. Sometimes a spiritual aspirant, a little bit of progress makes that person think, I practice spirituality. You know, I am Swami here. It is you all, what do you know? You think of yourself to be big someone, advanced soul, and think of others as low down there. No, that is not the case. Everybody practices according to one's own constitution. Everybody is to be looked upon in that fashion, that God is in everyone, and everybody is therefore following the path of the Lord. And that verse will come, Mama Vartmanu Vartante. We had seen that in earlier, that Mama Vartmanu Vartante Manushya Partha Sarvasha, that God says that human beings follow me according to their own understanding, their own constitution. All cars cannot go by the same speed. There is this, if somebody is driving in a modern Ferrari and is running, suppose there is no police to stop, may go by 120 miles. And there is somebody has an old car, cannot go more than 50 miles an hour, and that person also is going. Now if this fellow thinks that let me go at that like the Ferrari, not possible. It will just destroy the car. The whatever speed that person was going, that also will be impossible. So you should follow according to the nature. My car can go only this speed. Let me go according to that. Somebody is, say, going on a bicycle. Now the bicycle need not go with the speed of a car. It will go according to its own speed. The question is, according to the constitution, our bodies and minds, they are like vehicles. They have their constitution. They will be going according to their nature. So that one has to understand that. So even though you know, so he says, jnanavan api, even if a person is wise, that wisdom percolates through one's constitution, and it is not possible to go in any different way. That constitution alone will be working there. So we shall see that therefore it is important for us, that is the next verse, that we should follow what is right for us. One need not see what is done by somebody else in with a completely different constitution. What is right for us is my religion, you know, my religion. Each of us has a separate, very individual religion according to one's constitution. here dharma is not actually religion in the sense that Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism and so forth. It is one's own constitutional tendencies. We will look at that verse next Friday. Any questions? Yes, Jamuna Bhai. That is true. It is the constitution is of body and mind, and it is so many factors mold it. So many factors go to make it. All the actions in the previous birth and this birth, then the family surroundings, the society, education, and all that that forms the constitution, physical and mental, psychophysical, let us say, psychophysical constitution. Yeah. Just a second. Yes, Chris?
So, Swamiji, how are we to distinguish what comprises our constitution from just attachment?
Yes, this is also the similar question. How do we know what compromises or what comprises our constitution and what is our path in that according to that constitution? Yes, it is. We should do our best. That actually is the topic to be discussed in the next verse. Our Chris is very brilliant. He goes one step further, you know. So, it is, yes, our constitution actually tells us, and accordingly we should do our best. The most important thing is not to get lured by what somebody else is doing. Whatever I have to do, let me do it. There are the examples of both sides, you know, that you can take the example of Jesus. Let me do like Jesus, or let me do like Buddha, let me do like that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a great devotee. No, they are good, but you have to go according to your constitution. So your constitution, your tendencies, your acquired habits and all that, that will be your tendencies, and accordingly only you can progress, and nothing more than that. And that is good, you know, that is good enough. It is not that we have to, as the example of car I gave, it is good, you can go with that speed. And the direction is most important. You will arrive at some point. But if you try to overdo, your constitution will not permit it, and you will spoil the vehicle of your journey. So that is the nature of constitution. Yes, Srikanta? Yes, wise person also, just to tell that the wise here has been interpreted by commentators differently, but it holds with whatever interpretation of wise you may have. The verse holds good with every interpretation of wise. Wise, if you have the ultimate knowledge of the truth, and thus you are a wise man, then even though there are so many wise men, the expression of that knowledge will not be same in all. The expression does not have to be the same. The preaching circumstances will differ. The expression takes different form according to the constitution. The second understanding is that a wise person means the one who has studied the scriptures and in that sense is learned. But even though learned, doesn't mean that that person will be able to express all the learning in actions immediately. The constitution has to find the way. It takes maybe an hour to read and understand a nice book on swimming. But then to practice that and to actually become an adept, good swimmer takes long practice. Depends on again how is one's constitution, and it some people take more time than others. So accordingly, the wise person means even though if somebody has learnt the scriptures and has understood it, even then that is called wiseness. Even when this happens with wise, what to speak of those? Therefore that word api comes, even wise. If you are not wise, then of course you also will be doing the same thing. So yeah. They have gone in their awareness beyond nature, but their body and mind still is part of nature, and therefore the expression of that knowledge will be according to that. Like Jesus was speaking a language, that body and mind had the training of that language, and Jesus is not therefore expected to immediately give his advice in Sanskrit, you know. So, nor Shankaracharya is expected to give his advice in Aramaic. So, it is that is the idea of body and mind. No. Tendencies again, some physical and mental tendencies, they also play the role. Suppose wise in the sense of, you know, those who have gone beyond their nature. Yet physically one may have diabetes, another may not have, you know. Another may be suffering from blood pressure. So that physical constitution will be still there. And the expression will find therefore that way accordingly. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai ya swayam padmanabhasya Mukha-padmād-vinesrita Ekam shastram devaki putra gītam Eko devo devaki putra eva Eko mantrah tasya namani yani karma pyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu.